This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Julia Jacobs. On the show today, I would like to help everyone out there who are looking to declutter and to do so in an environmentally friendly way. So it's a big step to declutter, so good on you if you've made that first step. But now that you've organized all your unwanted goods into lovely, neat little piles, how best to dispose of them while also helping others and not filling up our already clogged up landfills? In the next hour, I'll be speaking to four individuals from three different organizations who will help you get rid of your waste. First up is Vincent Chung, the founder of Urban R Recycle Collection, who left his job as an auditor to go into the recycling business full-time. Vincent, thanks for joining us today.
Hi.
So tell me a bit about yourself. How did you get started in the business of recycling?
Yeah, actually, before I joined this industry, I running a recycling business as my hobby.
So, that's a very interesting hobby.
Yes, and people find it weird. So why I'm saying so? Because actually, we are very eco. So normally, before I start the business, so in my house also, we have a habit to make sure everything before we dump, we think twice.
Okay.
Whether we should categorize as reusable or recyclable. So some are reusable. We donate out, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we found out a few years ago, before I formed this company, when we bring everything, every so-called recyclables to the recycling center, half normally we rejected by them. They say this is non-recyclables. Yeah.
Okay. So what are non-recyclable items? I mean, what are the examples of those?
Let's say a sample. A lot of glass bottles, mm-hmm. glass bottle or some kind of plastic, they're not acceptable by most of the recycling center.
Okay.
So we feel that it's not right. So based on the experience, we try to, because as my background, I'm ex-auditor. So we go through the supply chain. We found out, hey, sometimes people not accept it. It's not true. Because it can be other reason. So we have to give some solution about that. So after we solve the problem, we found out actually there's someone they're collecting it, just that they're missing link between the supply chain. So after we go through as a hobby for 1-2 years with my colleague and my friends, so far it's the right timing to form this company online.
Okay. Yeah. So now how do you guys operate? What are the materials that you do accept?
Basically, we consider us running based on the principle of zero waste.
Okay.
Whatever we can collect, whatever can be recycled or can be reusable, so we will collect. But
okay.
we found out certain things we still can't find any solution, like polystyrene.
Yeah.
Or polyform.
Yeah.
So, but we are not give up. In the time passed by, we hopefully can find a better solution for that. So what we normally do, we usually like to tell people we are company online, but we can't do it everything online. A collection must be offline, right?
Of course.
So what we do, we make sure the request part, everything done online by WhatsApp, by Facebook. So we send them a SOP before they do collection as well.
Okay.
So they must follow our list. So what do we collect from A to Z? And then they take a pictures. Because according to the picture, we can send a right size a vehicle to their house.
Oh,
you can imagine. So that's why we don't set any very tight rules to say that you must have a big volume, then only come to your house. No, not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Even 2 bags. Our minimum requirement is 2 bags.
Okay.
So we can come to your house. But one thing you have to do, you have to snapshot those recyclable ones you are ready. So we'll send you a date and time.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So you mentioned there's you do accept some particular products.
Yes.
And some. So what are, I mean, just general examples of this?
Mostly, usually we subdivided the recyclables to common and uncommon recyclables.
Okay.
Common recyclables, normally we categorize papers,
mm-hmm.
plastic and those kind of metal like aluminum can, metal can. So beside all these, the rest we categorize as uncommon recyclables. First reason why they consider uncommon, first, they are not generated every day,
okay.
like furnitures. So they come in seasonal, 1 year, twice or one time before festive season.
Yeah.
So like electronic waste, we found a lot of people like to keep electronic in their house.
Yeah.
But the main reason, because people, actually everyone, they like to be good to the environment. They can't find any solution. Like a battery.
Mm.
I found someone actually, a customer actually, she kept the CPU and monitor more than 15 years because she can't find a way to proper dispose, they call it. Yeah.
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 And just going on the topic of e-waste, so that is an uncommon one, as you
yes.
were saying, right? Okay, so how, can you walk me through the process of when, like,
yes.
when you go to pick it up? Because there's always also issues of, like, you know, the data that's in there,
yes.
you know, the things that are saved.
Yes.
What are the sort of things that you need to do before it's given off to you?
Yeah, before that, usually we ask them which kind of electronic waste you have.
Mm-hmm.
Because in general, electronic waste can be 3 to 4 types.
Mm-hmm.
In general, the home appliances categorize as electrical waste.
Right.
still okay, but sometimes you ask whether there's a bulky electrical waste, like the aircon, fridge. So according to the question we ask, usually we get some idea. But if they say they have something like electronic waste, computer waste, mm-hmm. or more specific on hazardous waste, of course, sometimes they don't know.
Yeah.
So usually we show them some example. Let's say light bulbs. When you have a light bulb or fluorescent tube or anything like batteries, especially a button battery, they're mm-hmm. very toxic.
Yeah.
So we ask them to do a proper preparation before pass to us.
Okay.
I give example like fluorescent tube. If you have bulbs, let's say you want to send a bulb to us or send to, actually beside us, actually a lot of party that actually they collect bulbs, but you must send them in the right way.
Okay.
When you buy a new bulbs, so you make sure you keep the box. So old bulbs can put back in the box because the box actually to protect the bulbs
from breaking.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So that's something. That's something you should always remember. Keep those. Yes. Keep those boxes until you get it recycled. Yeah.
Battery also another issue lah. So sometimes we tell them if you have a dry cell battery still okay, but some battery they call it 9V battery, the square sizes battery.
Yes. Yes.
You must be very careful because there's some of the cost can cause fire basically.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. So you will basically come and just pick it up?
Yes.
Okay. And then just going back to electronic waste, like your computers, your laptops, your mobile phones. So again, you know, the data that's in there, how do you recommend people get rid of all that data before they pass it to you? Or do you have a process of doing that?
No. But what we do, usually we ask them, if you have, let's say, anything contained with medium, so like you have a laptop, you have a CPU with a hard disk, try to remove out the hard disk, whatever from the laptop. Of course, you still can format.
Yeah.
You still can format your CPU. If not, we can help you to format on the spot.
Okay, so you do that.
But just a simple format. We are not the right person to do that, basically.
Okay, all right.
Yes.
And so what happens once you go and collect it? What is your workflow following that?
After we collect the electronic waste, usually we send back to our warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
So my staff or me, actually, we segregate according to category.
Okay.
So we break it down like a second tier segregation. I give example like CPU, we do a simple dismantle. Because every part inside the CPU, they have a different high concentrate of a different kind of elements.
Yes.
For example, like hard disk, they contain, I think mostly are aluminium.
Mm-hmm.
But motherboard are different. They contain gold, copper, and even silver. So they come in different categories. Of course, the buyback price will be different. Yeah.
I see. Okay. Yes. So you've already got your supply chain all sorted. You know
yeah,
exactly.
Before we go and collect, we make sure there's a back-end supply chain to support all this. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And how does one go about like making arrangements with you to pick up goods? You mentioned like WhatsApp and all that, but could you just give us the full details of how to get in touch with you?
Basically, quite simple. Usually, I tell them, try to, because sometimes we overlook your request. So the best way actually is send a request to our Facebook. Our Facebook, you just go to Facebook, search Urban R, Recycle Collection.
Urban R, right?
Recycle Collection. Then drop a message. So while you drop a message, so you when you request, actually we send you back a list. You can accumulate all the recyclables or reusable according to the list.
Okay.
Once you are ready, you snapshot a photo to us.
Mm-hmm.
Then usually within one day, we'll send you back the collection date.
Okay.
But sometimes depends on whether it's peak season. Yeah, usually peak season, we only accept about 50% of the requests.
Okay. All right. Mm. So your area that you go collect, that you do your collections, is that all around Klang Valley?
Klang Valley.
Okay.
Yeah, so Klang Valley only, yes.
It's only for Klang Valley. Okay. And what is your advice? You know, what should we get rid of? What are some dangerous things that we are keeping in our houses that we should probably think about recycling? And not only recycling, but not throwing away in our regular rubbish.
Okay. So basically, first thing, like I mentioned before, those are categorized as toxic waste.
Yeah.
Like the light bulb, like the fluorescent tube.
Mm-hmm.
These have to dispose proper way.
Yeah.
Of course, sometimes, because we have a limitation to take all the requests, you can go to another website. I think they are the big support about this supply chain for these recycling items.
Okay.
So it's called TEAM.
T-E-A-M. T-E-A-M.
You can go and Google and search T-E-A-M.
Okay.
This word is stand for the Electrical and Electronic Association Malaysia.
Okay.
Actually, they come up with the effort to provide a bin specialized to collect all these fluorescent tubes. They'll show you the location.
Okay.
Where should you bring over about the tubes and also about the bulbs.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Of course, another option, you can bring the bulbs and batteries to IKEA Malaysia.
Yes, of course, because they have, I think, also a battery recycling and
for your information, this kind of toxic waste actually come to the end, they have to send to Quality Alarm. or those company have a capability to do proper disposal about all this.
Okay.
So why? Because they contain mercuries.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, you've been doing this for about, you were saying 2-3 years now,
yes,
or slightly more, you know?
Yeah, about 2 years plus.
Two years plus. So, yes. I mean, has response been good? You know, are people getting more involved in recycling? Are they thinking more about what they're buying and what they are not putting into landfills?
Yes, because as we go online, basically, our client or our members, actually, mostly they are from the highly educated area. So, actually, they're quite good. After first-time collection, actually, they follow the rules.
Okay.
How to segregate. Because sometimes we tell them, if you are not, electronics still okay, because no need many effort actually from the people to do the segregation.
Right.
But other kind of waste, yes.
Okay.
You are not doing proper sorting. Actually, because for this industry, it's still very labor intensive.
Yeah.
Mostly they are follow the rules, basically.
Okay, yes. All right. So, any advice, you know, to somebody who's looking to declutter, you know, what should they do? Before calling you, obviously, yes, they need to get organized, right? So what is your advice to somebody who's thinking of decluttering?
Usually we tell them, first you go to our Facebook.
Okay.
So we'll send you some SOP about all that.
So just send you a direct message first?
Yeah, direct message. But usually for, especially with plastic a bit complicated because plastic, there are many types of plastic.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, if you go through the bottom of those plastic containers, they tell you the numbers.
Yes.
You call it resin numbers. So, but not all kinds of plastic are recyclables.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to follow which, usually number 1, 2, and 5 are recyclables.
Okay.
So secondly, these are people lack of doing that. Wash your container, before you sign up. Especially certain things like beverage cartons,
mm-hmm,
that in general people
milk
like to call
milk
like cartons. People like to call Tetra Pak.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tetra Pak are the company to produce all this. So if you're not washed the milk carton, so you can imagine.
Yes, of course.
After 2 weeks,
oh, good goodness.
What is special smell?
Yeah. Special, yes, polite way of putting it.
Yes.
Yeah,
the odor, yeah.
Yeah, and I think another way, like I remember when I was a student in Australia, they taught us how to flatten it. You know, first you wash it, then you flatten it, and just to...
Yeah, this company, actually, we are one, the small collector for all this, because... Tetra Pak also another big issue. They categorize it in common ways under our category as well.
Oh.
Because first, they are quite light. They are bulky.
Okay.
So usually that we are not the right person to teach. Actually, in their website, they're teaching. They have a program called Cattons.
Mm-hmm.
So they teach. If you want to recycle all these, you have to flip, rinse.
Rinse it out at least, right?
Yeah. Flap it and then you send to the right party to do recycling.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. So that also, you guys do that as well?
We do that also. Because then Tetra Pak or beverage carton or milk carton, they cannot categorize as a papers. They're mixed materials.
Okay.
Usually
they
mix mixture from papers, plastic and also aluminium.
Okay. Do you also have like a, because you also mentioned reusing, right?
Yes.
Do you also have like an arm in your company where you resell things that you have that can be resold?
Yes.
Do you have?
Because mostly our client, they do request, they are from the high-end area,
mm-hmm,
like TTDI, Mount Kiara area. Besides sending a recyclable, actually they send a lot of reusable.
Okay.
Especially when we have 20% foreigner clients.
Okay.
When they want to go back to their country.
Right?
Yes, expat. Yeah. They want to go back to their country. A lot of reusable, like furniture, mm-hmm, they will pass to us.
Okay.
So what we do, like kitchen appliances, furniture, some we sell, some we donate.
Okay.
But sometimes donation also according to the request. If not, it will become another,
another
big mess. Yeah,
it's just waste for them as well, right? Yeah.
So I give example, like a lot of people, they don't realize about this problem. When you have your clothing, you send to orphanage, any charity center,
mm-hmm,
come to the end, they are oversupply basically.
Right.
And then mostly the clothing, they are not suitable for them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they will call us again.
So, I mean, I know places like H&M, for example, they accept all sorts of clothes,
yes,
right? But you don't quite do that. You accept sort of clothing, or do you accept all
We accept any type and any condition, even
okay,
a torn or any kind of old towels, any fabric basically.
Okay, and then what do you do with the ones that are not reusable, also sent for recycling?
We are not the party to do it. Actually,
okay,
we send to the right factory, they will do a more complicated segregation. So, in general, they will do it reusable or recyclables. So reusable in Malaysia, that usually the old clothing is 70% reusable.
Right.
So they will subcategorize to men use, women, children.
Mm-hmm.
So according to that type, after that they will seal it and send it to Thailand basically.
Okay. Okay. Why Thailand?
Mostly I can tell you the facts lah. In Malaysia, actually Malaysians are quite rich. Actually, the old clothing are oversupplied. Malaysia, the market is so small. So they either send it to Thailand or, as I know, also there's an Australian company running in Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
They send it to Africa.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So to be resold over there and
yes,
to be reused over
with
there.
With a merchant market. Because in Malaysia, the second market is very small.
Okay. And is it just only clothing, or can I send you things like all curtains and all bed sheets, everything?
So yes, even shoes.
Even shoes. Okay. Yes. All right. I think that's going to help a lot of people. And so just to be clear again, you accept all sorts of things. You accept anything from plastics to paper to old toys to e-waste.
Yeah. Maybe I can make a summary which is more easy to remember. So all kind of papers like newspaper, cardboard, even magazine paper or any kind of mixed color paper, even the document papers from the office. But usually I tell anything contain data or contain a privacy, you should do it the right way before you send it. Like you can shred it. Yeah, shredded papers. We accept shredded papers.
Okay.
So second type is plastic. Mostly plastics are recyclables. Just one, two type plastic are not recyclables. Like not all kind of plastic but are recyclables.
Okay.
Secondly, is a polystyrene.
Okay.
So for those plastic are non-recyclables, what you can do, reduce, not using it. So you can bring your own, let's say now in Selangor, they ban polystyrene, right?
Yes, and plastic bags,
it's a good move.
Yeah.
So beside, because now they come up with something like called bioplastic container.
Yes.
But I don't know what kind of material they make. Like, I think they call it, they make from a PP.
Okay.
PP is a plastic number five. It's better for health, basically.
Okay, all right.
It's the only one kind of plastic that you can put in the oven. Recycling are not really helping 100%. You still need to reuse or reduce. Another third type is metal, but from a household, actually, metal, not many. Usually, you can find from your kitchen rubbish bin, either a metal can or aluminium can. But try to drink less about carbonated drinks. So this three type of category, actually, the wick is contained of your recyclable is about 80%. The rest are 20%, which you are not dumping every day, like glass bottles, electronic waste, even toner cartridges, all accepted by us. But plastic, including plastic toys. Plastic toys, even broken plastic toys, you can pass to us as well.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much, Vincent.
Okay.
All right. So just before we end, can you give us your email address again or the best ways to contact you? You said the Facebook page, and that is Urban R.
Urban R, I spell it again. So you can go to Facebook and search Urban R Recycle Collection. The Urban R stands for U-R-B-A-N-R, then Recycle Collection.
Okay, all right.
Yes.
And that's the best way to get in touch with you. All right, thank you so much, Vincent.
Okay.
That was Vincent Chung, the founder of Urban R Recycle Collection, who will pretty much pick up most of your unwanted goods, right from clothes to e-waste. We take a short break, but when we return, I will speak to the folks from Jumbo Station who use all of your pre-loved goods to help single parents. You are listening to Earth Matters on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. It's our How to Declutter Sustainably show today, and now you will hear from Lim Lian C and Jayaprata Batumalai from the non-profit organization Parents Without Partners, who also run the Jumbo Station. Here are the ladies, both single mothers themselves, telling us more about the organization that turns your trash into cash for struggling single parents. We are talking about Jumbo Station. So can you tell me how Jumbo Station came to be, and who are the brains behind the outfit?
Okay, Jumbo Station is actually the trading arm of Parents Without Partners. So it's an NGO company that is started by three ladies. We just happened to be in a cell group, and we all come from the same church. So we had wanted to go into a sort of like a social entrepreneurship so that we could reach out to a targeted community. And because we were helping out with another NGO company before we started, and one of our outreach was to single parents, you see. Mm-hmm. And so our main target was like social entrepreneurs, whereby we wanted to be able to convert like trash to cash.
Right.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So the trash actually would be pre-loved items, actually. You're right. Yeah. So sometimes it's like, as children, we've been given toys and we've been given clothing. Yeah. So they had some certain value to us at some point in life, you see. But as we grow up, these are sidelined because other new things comes in, you see. So these are what we call pre-loved items, which would benefit the other community, the low income, especially our single parents, and we also have like the migrant group, who are actually in need, you see. So some of these items that come in, example like clothing, we have clothes from Esprit, we have clothes from Zara, you know. Yeah. So they're very, very excited to have these things in our shops, you see. And Yeah, it has sort of like, we had one lady who told us she had been shopping with us for a little while, you see, because we sell them at very reasonable rates, you see. And so it becomes very affordable to them. So she says, you know, when I went to office, everyone has been admiring my clothing. You know, and really you can see the transformation in her self-esteem, you see. So there would also be bags and shoes. And it was very exciting because when they come to our shop, it become a tagline, you know, first to JS, then only to Maidin. Yeah. So, because the area that we have first started is in the low-cost flats, you see. Mm-hmm. So, we have already a crowd that would buy from us. Yeah. So, the joy of seeing, you know, them coming in, like some of these housewives, all right? In the morning, when the children have gone to school, they come down and then they're looking through clothing for children, for themselves, yeah, or even like household things, you yeah see. Then in the afternoon, when they've cooked, you know, and everything, in the evening, they will still come down again, just in case new stuff has arrived.
Yeah. Very excited yeah about
so,
it.
So it was really, really very encouraging to us.
Okay, yeah. So that's how you first started, you were saying, at some low-cost flats. That's where you first sort of began your shop?
Yes, this is where our headquarters is actually.
And still currently it's still
it
there.
Is, it
okay,
is.
Okay, so is yeah that also one of your collection centres currently?
It is, yes.
Okay,
all right. We were renting, mm-hmm, all right, yeah, all this while. At first, we just had one lot itself. And then we had to rent another lot because of the collectibles, you know, like furniture that was coming in. This goes into our expenses. Yeah. And we were also hiring single parents to work with us.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's sort of like a win-win situation. All right. And, you know, we would say that we've been very blessed right from the beginning because we were willing to sort of like, you know, come up with our own money to help these single parents. But the donated items that come in was more than enough for us to reach out and also to be able to pay our staff. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, yes, it is. It has been a very exciting journey for us.
It is. How did you come to choose this particular model, you know, aside from any other models? I mean, selling pre-loved goods.
I guess like way before that, whenever we needed like certain cash or funds for certain, like you say, target group, whether it's street ministry or anything, we would put out like flyers or, you know, just word by mouth, mm-hmm, to our friends. So a lot of us have got items like free gifts, clothes that we have outgrown, you know, from S to M to L to XL. So we would just run through. And it's also like in some ways for us to spring clean. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. And, you know, all these things, that they're really, really still in very, very good condition. So we've been doing like small jumbo sales itself, you see. Mm-hmm. And this is where we raise our money, you see. And yes, we have to be accountable as to, you know, money that has been raised and also, you know, where it goes to. And also, most of all, like, you know, the excess that we have, all right, we were able to contribute towards like the street ministry, the street people, and to other organizations like Children's Home and everything. So nothing is ever wasted, all right? Our rags goes to the auto shops where they use them, you know, to soak up oil and all
that's
that.
Lovely. Good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how does it all work? How does someone approach you and what sort of items do you guys accept?
We take everything, anything in your house, except for the 3 P's. We don't take plants, mm-hmm, and we don't take pets. And also, we don't take your parents-in-laws unless they want to work. So basically, everything that pre-loved item that you'd feel that you know, other people can use it. Like, for instance, stationeries, toys, books, clothes, cutleries, kitchenwares, furnitures, even mm-hmm. TVs. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it takes but all in working condition?
Definitely, working
okay.
condition.
So you guys don't focus on, let's say, recycling e-waste and things like that?
No.
That is not one of your focuses,
no,
right?
Actually, in the beginning, we did. What we did was that sometimes when these items come in, they may not be working properly. Mm-hmm. So what we do is that we do send them to a workshop that can be repaired. Mm-hmm. Then only we are able to sell it or we are able to donate it to parents. Because when we go in to help like the single parents, we don't want to be bringing, like you say, trash to them.
Exactly.
All right, we want to be able to bring in items that they can use, you see.
Yeah.
And we don't want them to waste money too in buying new things when things are still usable.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. So just talking about the single parents, right? Mm-hmm. How do you approach them? You know, is there sort of like a, I suppose, vetting process to decide who your beneficiaries are?
Initially, Lancy and the other two ladies, they stepped into Lembah Subang, the cemetery and a few other places.
Puchong.
And Puchong as well. And they have looked into this rumah tetangga, you know, mm-hmm. rukun tetangga, and they have approached that. And they have found out, you know, these are the single parents that are staying there and everything. So I think from there, it started off also. And my role as a social coordinator, I will go in to visit the single parents at first. But before that, I'll call them and talk to them, obviously. Pre-interview over
right.
the phone. And then we will go in to the house and we will do an interview with them.
Sure.
And we will check on what are their needs, initial needs, and then we will follow through from there.
Okay.
That's how we do it.
And I think one of the things that you focus, one of your core values is that you don't support parents based on, I mean, there's no race, religion card
no,
that is
in our
used.
Form, it's, there's no such thing as race or religion at all,
good.
You know. So we support everybody who really needs, single parents who really needs help. However, we have to evaluate first mm-hmm. and see what are their immediate needs.
Mm-hmm.
And we will do our utmost best, you know, to give them.
Okay, so the donated items, once it comes to you, how do you sort of sort it out? And then how does, you know, what, how do you decide which goes to the shop, which goes to the parents who might need it? What's the vetting process for that like?
When the items comes in, our operation manager and together with the staff, they will sort it out mm-hmm. accordingly, where it goes to USJ1 or UJAYA1 or MCOP Mall. However, when if the parents, single parents needs these items, we will highlight it to our operation manager, this, please book these items aside.
Okay.
If you have, then let us know and then we will make the arrangement to send it to them for free. They do not have to pay a single cent at all.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So the parents kind of, I mean, the single parents, they approach you and they kind of give you like a wish list? Is that how
sort
it...
Sort of things, something like that.
Something
yeah, they
like
will tell
that.
Us, can we have this, is this? For example, recently, last year, we gave a set of queen size bed mm-hmm. together with a two-seater sofa
mm-hmm.
and to a single parent. So she had a good sets of sofas and a brand new bed, actually. In fact, and she was really happy about it.
Okay.
Yeah, so
all
glad
right.
to see that.
And so the things that are sold at the shop, I'm guessing the proceeds are then channeled towards the
yes.
towards the single parents, right?
Oh, yes.
Yes. And how do you sort of decide what the allocation is? Is there like a model or, I mean, how do you decide who gets
you
what,
see, when we go into interview, all right, we already are at the ground level,
mm-hmm.
okay? So the basic thing is that we help the mothers, I mean the parents, all right, to stand on their own 2 feet first, mm-hmm. all right? Some of them, they are very, very emotionally traumatized, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the main thing is that when we step in is the parent herself, or himself, and also the children needs, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So this, once we have sort of like assessed them as to what is critical, yeah, we see to that first, you see. Like, we've been in, all right, and we know that one of the things that they needed is like, let's say, food items.
Mm-hmm.
So that is given to them as ASAP, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So there was once or twice when we went in, all right, and then the next day when we come in, and we ask her, how come you have not cooked? And a simple answer was that I have no gas.
Mm.
Right?
Such
yeah.
a thing we take for granted.
Yes,
right?
yeah. yes. So it was like there was once when we went in and there was this single mother who was having a baby bottle. It was just clear liquid. And then we asked her, what do you have in there? She said, sugar. And the baby was only 1.5 months old.
Oh, no. It was sugar water.
Sugar water. She was not able to breastfeed because she herself is so much in need, right? Yeah. So we see to this first.
Yeah, okay. Definitely. All right. So you I suppose you see first to essential needs like food and and groceries, and then I think you also help out with things like school fees and and bus fees.
Only now these school fees is waived. Actually, they don't have to pay school fees, but. I think the thing that you need to pay is the books, you know, the workbooks, the exercise books. There's a lot of money spent in there.
Okay.
And we can try to adjust this with the school and then ask them, you know, what are the things that we can waive and how we can help them and everything else. But like what Lindsay said, you know, we have to see whether these mothers are actually working mothers, you know, they really, you know, need that support, then we will come in. You have to understand that, you know, single mothers, they were actually married before, and they have two incomes, and then now they have one income only.
Mm-hmm.
And then how are they going to support the mother, the children?
Yeah.
And it's a lot of burden there, you know. And
on top of childcare, so
correct. Yeah. And they can't bring them to childcare even
because it's so expensive.
Expensive. Yeah. That's right. Everything has gone up now, you know. Mm-hmm. And we have to teach them how to fish, and then we have to give them support. And a lot of them are abusing their mothers, huh? And they have a lot of packages with them as well. Yeah. So we have to work with them from time to time, slowly. And there is like, sometimes it takes years, sometimes, you know. And if they are ready, yes, by all means, with our blessings, please. Mm. You know, stand on your 2 feet if you can. But if they are not, we will support as much as we can. That's that.
And I think aside from the Jumbo Station, you also provide them some sort of some training programs as well. I think that comes under I think there's some sewing lessons that you've provided them.
This is part of our work to network with other associations and with other companies. You see, so we would get a school, all right, like the YWCA, they have courses for the children. And also, like you say, sometimes for single parents, like MIB was offering like baking classes. And then we have like sewing classes, you see. So when they go in, what we do is that we do provide like transport money for them, all right, so that they will make themselves available. And they have to be accountable because they cannot skip lessons. If they skip lessons, we terminate immediately. Mm-hmm. Sorry to say that. But we have to be very hard at times to let them realize that, money is important also to us because we are raising money all the time, you see, and we cannot afford to waste it, you see.
Of course.
Yeah. So we also provide, like, once they finish the course, with a little bit of microcredit, which we can get from sponsors, from associations and everything. And we are glad to say that we have seen some success cases, all right? Yeah. And
Could you tell me about one of your success stories?
Oh, there is one lady called Nani, all right? She has about 7 children, all right? And she used to do this nasi lemak sort of a business, you see.
Ayam rempa, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, ayam rempa.
Ayam rempa. And she was very good. What she needed then was that she needed just a van, all right, and utensils to start her business. Mm-hmm. So we sort of like walked through her with how to start this business, you know, and everything. Then, you know, we felt that she was a genuine case. And so we gave her the microcredit. And she was doing very well, yeah. And then what she did was that she returned the money to us even after 3 months.
Amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the money then is channeled to
To help other parents.
Yeah, so it multiplies. Yeah. Okay. So it's just like seed money that we're giving out, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And all stems from things that people don't even want anymore.
Yes.
You know?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's
amazing how you've done that. And I think, you know, recycling and reusing things is becoming more and more important as, you know, we're such a consumer society. We're just consuming, consuming. It's time to, it's great that you guys have this so that we can give back and, you know, without too much, without any pain to us, actually.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
So it's very nice that you have this model. Mm. Just going back to items that you guys accept, do you do pickups or do you are people expected to come over to you guys to drop off the the products?
For large items, there is pickups. Mm-hmm. You can do pickups for large items. However, for the smaller items, such as clothes or books or any other items which is smaller, they can drop off at Jaya 1 or USJ 1. And our address and the contact numbers are at the blog and also our Facebook page. However, the time is... It's actually every day in Jaya 1, except for Chinese New Year public holidays. That's about it. So in USJ, it's open from 10 to 7, and as well as Jaya 1, 10:30 to 8.
Okay. And the shop itself to buy things from, you know, like some of us love our secondhand goods, it's also in Jaya 1 and in USJ?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. And it's open every the times that you mentioned earlier. Yeah. Okay. Is there any sort of criteria you would like somebody, anyone who's listening right now, if they've got like clothes... Do you want us to separate it by age group? You know, is there any sort of sorting process that would help you if we did it before coming to you guys?
Well, we appreciate if the clothes, you know, you don't have to separate everything. Mm-hmm. But it's just that, just make sure that it's not torn, tattered or stained. Because these items will be sold or given to the single parents whenever they need it. And we're giving it to them for free. So we don't want to give them, you know.
Of course not.
Yeah, definitely. So including shoes as well. You know, and accessories and all these items. So just make sure that these items are not broken or torn here and we have to repair it or anything like that. Because otherwise we have to just, you know, chuck it somewhere else to, you know, to recycle other places.
Yeah. Defeats the purpose. Yeah. And what sort of bulky items do you accept?
We take beds, furniture, sofa, and cabinets.
Bedsteads as well or just the mattress?
Everything.
Everything.
Yeah, okay. Everything. Per sets and everything.
So furniture.
Yeah.
Like knickknacks.
Yes, we do.
Like
knickknacks, yes.
Good resale
collectible
value.
Items. Mm.
Collectible items.
That will go to MCOP so we can sell and raise the fund for them.
Okay. All right. Just any last messages you'd like to leave us with to anyone listening out there?
We are very thankful so far for what we have received, you see. We would appreciate if the people out there are more aware that with recycling, we're actually giving hope to some families. Mm-hmm. All right. And there is much joy in giving and in receiving. Mm-hmm. So we have to be more environmentally conscious and also socially conscious that the things that you donate are going to homes that need them.
Mm. Yes, definitely. Just want to highlight about something.
Sure.
Recently, we have opened Reading Station, which is also located in USJ 1. Reading Station is like a library open up to the children along around this USJ 1 community area. So it's a library where these children can come and play, you know, come and do activities with us and everything. So we will open to public for volunteer work. So anybody who's interested to engage with these kids in terms of doing activities like arts and crafts, science project, we want to look into that this year, and also any speech and drama as well.
Okay.
So we open to the public. If whoever wants it, then we can give me a call and we can arrange the time.
Okay. So. Thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you so much.
That was Lim Lian Si and Jayaprata Batumalai from the Jumble Station. And if you'd like to find out more about what you can donate to them or if you'd just like to get in touch, do visit their website at jumblestation1.blogspot.my. We take another short break, but when we return, a quick guide on how to properly rid your home of unwanted medication. This is Earth Matters on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Earth Matters on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. We are helping you declutter the green way today, and in the final part of this episode, I speak to Dr. Ming Hui Ying, a consultant physician at Tung Shing Hospital, about how to dispose of medication properly. So it's pretty dangerous to simply bin our unwanted or unused meds. So here's Dr. Ming explaining how you can do it the right way. So Dr. Ming, you are involved in the joint project between Tung Shing Hospital and Kachara Soup Kitchen to collect unused or unwanted medication. Could you tell me more about this project?
Yes, it came about actually when I started volunteering for the medical arm of Kachara Soup Kitchen, which is an NGO organization that provides a service to feed and provides a support service for the homeless and urban poor. So I started volunteering in the medical arm, and I noticed that there was a lack of medication that we needed to help treat these people. So we set up a collection. I work in Tung Shing Hospital. We set up a collection box where we could collect unused or excess medication from anyone who wishes to donate or has excess medicine in hanging around their house, and they can just drop it off, and we rechannel this medication towards our medical service, and this helps us in a long way in treating our clients. We're lucky we have a team of volunteer pharmacists at Tongjin Hospital and in Kuchara Soup Kitchen. So they will help us sort the medication out to those that can be used, and we can use this. Those that cannot be used will be disposed of.
What are some of the medicines that you do accept?
We accept actually almost anything because it's a bit difficult for anyone to decide whether we can use it or not. But of course, most of our clients suffer from coughs, colds, and flu, gastric symptoms. So the basic symptomatic treatment, things like Panadol, antihistamines, are very useful for us to use on our clients. A lot of them also we have wounds, so dressing materials and supplies are very useful. So things like creams, even half-used tubes of creams, we can reuse. Plasters, bandages. Any forms of dressings or cleaning solutions, preferably unopened, we will use this especially to clean the wounds. As you know, our homeless are out in very harsh environments, so they have many skin problems, and these come in useful.
When the homeless folks come to you, and let's say you don't have the correct medication available, I mean, then do you sort of take that from your own supplies? Is that how it works?
Yes, I mean, we, of course, in addition to the medicine that we collect through the collection, mm-hmm. If we don't have enough, we do get some monetary donations. So we can use this money to buy the medicines that we don't have. We also get some medical donations through kind colleagues of mine have donated some of their personal stock, some near expiry. Some doctors and clinics are also clearing out their shelves. They also hand over any unwanted medication too. Also, pharmaceutical companies, some of them are kind enough to also donate some of their excess stock as well to us. So overall, we have a fairly good range of medication. If it's really unavailable and they really are in need of it, then we will refer them to a clinic or the hospital.
Okay, so just talking about like medicines that are close to expiry or that have just passed their expiry date, those are definite no-no in terms of donations?
Yes.
Okay, but do you also accept medications that have been expired and then, you know, sort of, is there a way that people can also, dispose of it properly? Do you have that service as well?
Yes. I mean, if they want, we will encourage anyone to donate anything because obviously and we have the volunteers to help sort out. We will go through all the medication and check the expiry dates. So those that are expired will be disposed of. So the proper way to dispose of medication actually is not through flushing it through the yeah. toilet or throwing it into the household waste, except for simple things that don't cause environmental detriment, things like normal simple things like cough mixture and herbal remedies, they can all be thrown in household waste. But anything else, if you're not sure, should actually be taken along to a hospital or a clinic that can dispose of it in the proper manner so that it doesn't cause environmental detriment.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people I know, they just sort of dispose of their medication. They just throw, you know, like antibiotics or whatever into the rubbish bin. And that is, I mean, you know, could you just elaborate on how dangerous that could be?
Yes, I think we're all guilty of that at some point, actually.
Yeah.
Most of Malaysians have actually, are not aware of the proper way to dispose of unwanted medication. But currently, the Ministry of Health do run a Return Your Medicine program, mm-hmm. and where you can return any unwanted or excess medication back to the government hospitals or clinics. As far as I know, they are collecting. Mm-hmm. And in the private sector, as far as I know, only we at Tongxin are doing this as well, collecting unwanted medication. So this medicine are sent to proper waste facilities where they are disposed of and dealt with in the proper manner.
Okay. And just to conclude, how else can people get in touch with you? And, you know, what would be your wish list of things that we can help you with?
Oh, okay. Have you got all morning? Well, yes, we do have a shortage of medication. Mm-hmm. Of course, like I say, please go and clear out your medicine cupboard. You'd be amazed to find out what is there. I cleared out my medicine cupboard, and that was what started all of this as well. And I found out there was lots of unwanted medication there. Most people do harbor lots. Also, like I say, dressings. If you can't help with any medication, of course, monetary contributions to help buy the medication that we need. We are very short of creams, solutions, skin solutions to help dress the wounds. And most of all, actually, probably we could do with your time. If anyone would love to volunteer and help us or come on our rounds with us, there's always a role and there's always a place for you at Kichara Soup Kitchen. We need hands to help. You can help sort out medication, help sort out the food packaging, pack the medical boxes. And if you're a medical line, if you're a nurse or pharmacist, we can do with your help as well.
Okay. And just another thing I wanted to ask. Do you know things like, you know, sometimes we take flights and we get free gifts like mouthwash and soap and moisturizers, those sorts of things.
Yes.
Is that something that you would also welcome?
Yes, absolutely. Any freebies, like from the hotels, shampoos, yes, washes, creams, and like you say, these toothbrushes, we do collect and we do redistribute to the homeless on the streets when we do our rounds.
Yeah, because I think a lot of us are hoarders. We like, every time we go on a holiday, we'll keep it, but we don't actually end up using it. So
best
to put it to some good use there. Anything else you'd like to add, you know, ways that we can help you guys?
Okay, well, I think I've listed most of that already. Mm-hmm. But you can contact us if you have any queries. Like I say, you can drop medicine at Tungshin Hospital.
Mm-hmm. Is it just to walk in then? You just walk in and there's a certain section?
We have a drop box at the pharmacy, at both the first floor and ground floor pharmacy, or you can just drop it off at customer service on the ground floor. Okay. Alternatively, you can visit us or drop in at Kichara Soup Kitchen, number 17 Jalan Barat, which is off Jalan Imbi. There we have offices and facilities to serve the homeless. So they have a kitchen to prepare the food. We even have washing machines there so that they're able to do their laundry.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Ming.
That was Dr. Ming Hui Ying discussing how we can donate or dispose of our unwanted meds and also things like creams, soaps and toiletries, which you don't want anymore. You know, free gifts that you got from flights, from hotels, from hospitals even, you know. If you don't want to use them and you've been hoarding them, here's a good way to put them to good use. If you'd like to find out more about this project, which takes in all of these things, you can visit kechara.com. That's kechara.com. This is just a tiny sampling of the many organizations out there who will help you rid your house of all sorts of unwanted goods, knickknacks, clothes, e-waste, you know, things that are just taking up space that you're not even using. So it might be a bit more effort than just throwing it into the garbage can, but you know, a little effort will go a long way in helping others and the environment too. You've been listening to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.